How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. The Lakers do not play tonight, so we have to figure out something to talk about. Fortunately,
always a great way to lead us in.
Yeah, fortunately, the Lakers always provide. They seem to. It's never a dull moment with the Lakers, so there is plenty for Harrison and I to get to today. Before we do that, make sure you're following the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using all those promo codes, Lakers, LO Lakers, Lakers 10, whatever it might be. Harrison, we're going to start off today talking about Jerry West. Apparently, he would be intrigued by a return to the Lakers. Then we're going to talk about D'Angelo Russell's response to not getting minutes against the Knicks on Monday night and how mature he was with that. And finally,
or immature, stay tuned to find out.
Yep. You'll find out after the break. And then we're going to finish up with Meta World Peace talking about whether or not the Lakers could make the fourth seed or could be the fourth seed if not for injuries. So
could they? Stay tuned and find out.
The answer might shock you.
People accuse me of clickbait, so I'm practicing like the audio version of it.
Yeah, you got to do like the radio voice, right? Like Sunday, we will find out what the Lakers might be able to do.
Brought to you by Geico. I don't know if I have that in me.
Yeah. All right, so we'll start with Jerry West. Tim Kawakami of the Mercury News reported that people close to Jerry West have said that he would be intrigued if the Lakers made the right offer to come back to Los Angeles and apparently be the franchise savior, right? So, Harrison, what do you think, like, do you think it's money? Do you think it's role? Do you think it's responsibility or lack thereof? Like, what do you think it would take to actually get Jerry West? And this is, I think it kind of goes without saying that Jerry West coming back to the Lakers would be a good thing. I don't think that's even arguable.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's not really arguable that him coming back would be. I mean, literally every single basketball thing he touches turns to gold.
Yeah, this isn't a Magic Johnson situation where Magic hasn't had any experience, was a disaster as a coach. Like, this isn't that kind of situation where it's just a name. Jerry West coming back to the Lakers would be legitimately productive in any way you can think of.
Well, unless it was on the court where he would be shut down by Ronnie Price, according to you.
Well, I mean, yeah, now he's 78.
Well, yeah, so that's, I think that kind of is the first maybe issue, is that he is 78 and he was just hospitalized. I believe your article said in the fall. I don't remember hearing about what it was about. I'm sure you did your research, though. And so that, like, that's when you're 78, you're kind of permanently on the injured list. Like, you're 78. That's your condition at that point. And so I don't really know how much they really could expect to him on a day-to-day basis. I think the role that the Warriors have him in right now is kind of perfect for someone of that age, where mm-hmm. It's like, we're going to come to you on the major stuff, but we aren't going to send you out to go scout a second-round pick or things like that. So, I mean, I think that it would be great. Like, if they could get him to come back as an advisor, that would be great. But it's like you said, the issue is, how do you do it? And I don't know that money is necessarily the thing that's going to get a 78-year-old to change jobs at this point. I almost feel like it would have to be that he had some type of familial sense of obligation to the Lakers to make him want to come back.
I think the big carrot is his son being with the Lakers. That kind of plays into that. The Lakers offer, like you said, familial ties, literally and in terms of where he came from in his basketball career, right? The Lakers just offer things that other organizations couldn't offer. It's not like, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks could approach Jerry West and say, hey, we'll give you a buttload of money and then we'll get a buckload of money, if you would, to come out here. And he probably wouldn't take it no matter what the money they offered. But with the Lakers, I can't imagine, and I'm not a father, I'm not a dad, but I couldn't imagine a situation, you know, a parent being able to pass up on the opportunity to just guide their son through an industry that he's had as much success in as Jerry West has, right? So that's the major carrot. That's the only reason I could see this playing out in a manner in which Jerry West comes back to Los Angeles.
Well, I think the only, you have to consider what type of relationship. I mean, we don't know what type of relationship they have, right? Mm-hmm. I remember by all accounts, like the quotes that they give make it imply that they're pretty close and that they're definitely, they talk, and you know that Jerry West has had a big influence on Ryan West's professional career. But it's like, you know, I consider you kind of like a father figure, and you know, sometimes I don't know that I like working with you every day. And
that's terrifying.
I just wanted to see what your reaction to that was.
I could see like older brother, but father figure. Good Lord. Everybody, just so everybody's clear, I'm only like 4 years older than Harrison. So
4'14", same thing. Keep living in denial, old man. Uh-huh. I mean, does that put a strain on your relationship, though, to work with someone? Or is that something that they feel like would be a positive? I guess if it wasn't in a day-to-day role, you'd think that that would be the kind of thing that would be kind of cool for, like, somebody, like, especially once your kid is grown, to get to work with them at that point. Because it's one thing when they're younger, like, you know, every younger kid clashes with their parents. But Ryan West is, like, well into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And so you'd think that that would probably be kind of cool and kind of a draw that they could you know, get together and help build back this franchise that has been a huge part of both of their lives.
Yeah. So that's, like I said, that's the major carrot. The other issue in bringing Jerry West on is there already happen to be people hired in the spots. You know, the Lakers, first and foremost, before they start bringing people on, they need to figure out what they're going to do with the people that they already have in house. Right. And,
There's only so many seats in the car. Like, they can't have Jerry West come and sit in somebody's lap, you know?
I guess the Dodgers technically have, like, 17 assistant GMs or something.
But baseball's different. The roster's bigger, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think baseball's different.
Yeah.
Basketball, and the Lakers, I think, have generally had a smaller front office.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess, if you were reading tea leaves right now, right, like Magic Johnson coming to the Lakers, you would lean immediately in terms of speculation. You'd say that probably isn't good for Pearl Jimmy, right?
Yeah, I mean, every single sign that we've gotten from leaks and reports and their actual actions, even though, you know, in Magic's quotes he said that he's looking forward to working with Jim, the fact that we got a report that Jim didn't even know he was coming on until that day, I mean, the tea leaves are, you don't have to read them. Like, you're putting the tea bag inside the boiling water, and instead of like whistling, now it's just screaming like Jim Buss fired.
Yeah, the steam comes up and it forms Jim Buss fired, like in
yeah, like it fogs letters. Up the mirror, and then like once it starts to die down, those words are there.
Yep.
No, it's like 3 months. It just says.
Yeah, that's what poor Jimmy's dealing with now. So
yeah,
for me, the scenario that makes the most sense to me would be, because I don't think Jim or Jerry wants to come on. Jerry West wants to come on in a everyday full-time role. I don't think that's what he has in mind at all, right? And there, it's not just, that's just not even speculation. He said as much that kind
no,
of
you
role,
just don't bring 78-year-olds in to be your day-to-day full-time GM.
Well, right, and he's already said pretty definitively that isn't good for his body. Like, he does not handle stress very well.
No, he used to – he was the guy that would, like, drive around during playoff games or, like, hide in the tunnel, like, because he just, like, couldn't bring himself to watch because he gets so anxious.
Yeah, so that's bad on somebody in their 40s and their 50s and maybe even 60s. But when you get into your 70s and almost 80s, that's the kind of stress that, frankly, kills. that doesn't end well at that age. So – and I'm not saying that Jerry West would die if he took the Lakers GM role. I'm not saying that, but that kind of stress is not good for somebody who takes...
All you're saying is that it's just not ideal to have that level of stress at any point, but especially not when you're 78. So yes. I don't think that he'd be in the day-to-day GM. But yeah, I mean, if they could get him to come back as an advisor, I mean, one of the scenarios that you talked about was maybe Ryan West kind of takes Jim Buss's spot and works with Mitch Kupchak, and then Jerry West is kind of an advisor. Advisor to them, I think it's kind of interesting. And...
Oh, I think I had it turned around. I had it to where, so one scenario that I thought is maybe Jerry West takes Jim's job just immediately. And as, you know, team president, he's more of a manager. He just kind of tells people where to be and stuff, but he's kind of distant from it. The other one I had was where Mitch takes Jim's job, Ryan takes Mitch's job, and now Jerry is a consultant to help Ryan. That kind of made some sense. That's the one that makes the most sense to me. But the other scenario that I guess we should talk about, because Mitch and Jim's roles in running the Lakers, there's a lot of ambiguity there, right? It's not totally clear what
that's one
guy...
of I think the biggest and easiest criticisms to make of this front office is that you don't know who's making what decision, so you don't know who to give credit to and who to assign blame to, and maybe that's intentional on their part, but it is a flaw when you're trying to figure out who deserves to keep their job and who doesn't, and who made what mistakes, who deserves credit for what, like what improvements that they've made and that type of thing.
Yeah, and so because of that lack of – or because of the lack of clarity or because of the ambiguity, you don't know who deserves to go at this point, right? It's impossible to say – you know, it's pretty hard to say – now, I'm not leaning one way or the other that I'm saying if they're a package deal or that they're – you know, that they've completely separated themselves. But I trust Mitch – I feel like the Lakers in this changeover would need Mitch's voice, ironically, because he does, you know, he has a calming effect on the fans. So with all this changeover, it'd be good to be able to have a politician to stand out there and say, okay, yes, we're going through changes, but these changes are going to be good. I'm not really saying anything right now. I'm just going to keep on talking until this interview ends. Okay, the interview's over. All right, we're going to get back to work, right? Just somebody whose job it is to just say stuff without saying anything. And that's what I think Mitch at this point, to go along with the great scouting and the great work he's done as a GM, that's what the Lakers would need more than anything. And that's why I would say, you know, Mitch deserves to stick around more than Jim Buss. Where have you ever heard Jim Buss speak? Like publicly? I don't know if I ever have.
Once or twice.
I met him at a bar once, but I've never actually heard him speak publicly in front of a camera in an interview setting.
It's not usually his thing.
Well, right, but that makes him a little bit more superfluous, right? He's not as necessary in the Lakers equation because he doesn't provide that calming voice that Mitch does. You know, so I would say I'd like to see Mitch kind of step into Jim's role. Ryan takes Mitch's job. You know, they fill out whatever needs to be filled out under those guys. One of the jobs under those guys would be Jerry consulting Ryan. But do you think there's a scenario here in which Mitch is gone too?
Yeah, I don't think that it's unreasonable to expect that they'll both be gone, especially because they've been so tied at the hip publicly. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's probably some loyalty there, I would imagine, that, you know, maybe Mitch decides that, you know, he's worked with Jim and that's who he likes to work with, and he doesn't want to continue on and work with somebody else. I don't know. It's like that's the thing, is we don't know any of this stuff. It's just not known because those two guys, they don't leak things to the media, generally, it doesn't appear like, and they don't really talk publicly all that often about who does what. So yeah. It's kind of hard to know. But I think, you know, just to tie a bow on this, again, I just think that any way that you can bring in Jerry West as some type of consultant, again, you obviously don't want him running things on a day-to-day basis, but if you can bring him into your organization is better off for it.
Absolutely. All right, we'll move on then to D'Angelo Russell and his minutes. We talked yesterday. I was pretty critical, and I still remain kind of critical about how they handled the minutes last night, how Luke handled the minutes last night. But Russell did not go there. He was not as critical. He took the high road. And
yeah, I think that's why he has you blocked and why he doesn't have me blocked is because he listened to my opinion on that show where I just said, you know, I don't think it was that big of a deal in a blowout game when he had been playing a bunch coming into it, coming back from a knee injury.
I hope one day he blocks you. That's, I'm a little ashamed at how badly I want that to happen now. Let's go ahead and get to the actual.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, no problem. No problem, son. So the Russell was asked by Bill Oram about the minutes. He played just the 19 in the game after Luke said that he deserved to play more. Russell says, quote, "No, the team was out there. That was out there was rolling, and I hope that's the identity we build. Can be 1 through 15. Whoever's playing well and whoever's competing and making it happen is going to be the five guys that are out there, no matter who it is. So I was definitely fine with that."
So to some degree, he has to say that.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's understanding. He knows that he needs to say that, yeah. And maybe it is his legitimate feeling. I don't know. But to even if it wasn't, even if he was really mad about it, for him to say that is really mature, whether he means it or not.
Right. Knowing and understanding the necessity to say that kind of thing is big. Because could you just imagine the response if he says something along the lines of, well, you know, we won, but I mean, I thought I had earned minutes. My coach had already even said specifically that I had earned minutes.
Did you see 6 assists and no turnovers?
Yeah, I didn't. The decision still doesn't make any sense to me. But if he says something like that, everybody comes crawling out of the woodwork. That Ken from Newport guy jumps on in Silver Screen and Rolls mentions to tell us all about how immature this kid is. And if you're going to be so quick to criticize, I think you also have to be willing to give effusive praise when he deserves it, and he does here.
Yeah, and I think that, for him to say this, if he meant it, then that's great. That is a sign of maturity. And if he didn't, then it's also kind of a sign of maturity that he understood that he needed to say that. Because he can't make it about him, especially not after a third. Like, they basically won. They won by, like, 20 or so points. Mm-hmm. He can't come out there and say, like, oh, I didn't play enough. I didn't get to put up my numbers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to be happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again,
if you're a competitor and if you want to win, so even if you felt like you wanted to play more.
Where I get frustrated in the narrative of him being immature was I think he was pretty defenseless to the narrative being built around him, right? Now, we all know the Nick Young situation was ugly for everybody involved. Nobody comes out of that looking good. But ironically, as that was taking place, the person who was by a long shot the most mature person in that situation was whom? It was Russell, right? He immediately apologized. He said, "I feel terrible. I handled this really poorly. This should have never gotten out." And I don't even think it was him that leaked it in the first place, right? Like, it was somebody close to him that leaked it.
As far as we know, I mean, we don't really know who ended up leaking mm-hmm. it, but yeah.
So he, you know,
I mean, he definitely shouldn't have kept it recorded. He shouldn't have been recording in the first place, but he definitely shouldn't have kept the recording.
Yep. And so he handles that, you know, he apologizes immediately. He tries to move on from it. And I'm not even going to hold it against Nick Young that he was upset at the entire situation because the dude's engagement had just ended. Right. And I also, I mean, the person who, you know, deserved to be the most upset about it was Iggy Azalea because her business is now out there completely with nothing, with no control over the situation, you know, And then you have Byron Scott out there who isn't even involved dumping on D'Angelo Russell. So like there is no way for that situation to play out where anybody comes out looking good. Russell handles that about as well as he can. And I would imagine in all the production meetings leading up to national games that the Lakers would play in, their former coach would be out there telling people about how immature he is and how he isn't getting it and how the kids need to learn these things and whatever. But, you know, and Russell can't say anything in those production meetings either. He can't fire back at his coach because he would look petty. And now we're a year later, and the narrative is still somehow out there. But every time he gets an opportunity, I feel like Russell handles these situations about as well as you could ask for.
Yeah, he's handled himself really well this year. I feel like, you know, in a pretty up and down campaign in what was expected to be, I would say, more of a breakout than it has been. Mm-hmm. I think he's acquitted himself relatively well with both publicly and from by all indications privately.
Yep. So that's been good to see. Let's move on, unless you have anything else to add there.
Nope.
All right, we'll move on then to Meta World Peace, who thinks the Lakers are a 4 seed or could have been a 4 seed if it just weren't for
those darn injuries, man, they would have been a 4 seed.
All right. So we should start by saying there is no reality, there is no universe if we're doing this comic book wise in which the Lakers wind up with the 4 seed, right?
Well, no, I mean, there's a universe where, like, a bunch of NBA teams decide to, like, fold or something.
I guess, like, in that universe, a whole, like, Kevin Durant gets hurt, Steph Curry gets hurt, everybody on the Spurs. Well, the Spurs
Everybody
still,
gets hurt. Just everybody's injured.
The Spurs
except for
would
the
still rip off, like...
Yeah, that's Pop could pull out a bunch of D-leaguers and get, like, the 3rd seed.
Yeah. So... Jerry West.
No, but so
back. Jerry West comes back to play for the Spurs and still leads them to 65 games.
So Meta, after the game last night against the Knicks, he was feeling himself because he got MVP chance in the Garden. Mm-hmm. So he was talking about how the Lakers, if not for injuries, could have been a 4 seed. And like you said, there isn't a universe where they're the 4 seed, but. I think it's kind of common for teams to feel that confident about themselves, right? Like if they just got a couple more breaks here and there, if the refs just weren't so bad, their record would be a lot better.
If the refs just weren't so bad.
Every team blames the refs, man. Nobody likes the refs. I'm just saying, like, that's a commonality across basketball.
Could you just imagine a 30-win team saying, yeah, we could have won 50 if not for the damn refs.
Yeah, they just cost us too many late-game things.
That'd be tremendous.
Honestly,
I could
probably
see the Clippers doing that.
Oh, well, the Clippers is probably true.
Yeah.
The refs hate the Clippers.
Yep. Well, they should. Doc Rivers is
deservedly so. That team is full of whiners. But anyway, mm-hmm. about the Lakers. So I don't think they could have been the 4 seed, but I think you said that you wanted to talk about you felt like maybe they could have been made more playoff noise or like closer to playoff contention noise had they not gotten so many injuries.
Yeah, they were – when every time that the Lakers have had their full roster, I've never watched the Lakers with their full roster except for the one Dallas game. I think they had – while they were playing really well, they got beat by Dallas fairly handily, and it was kind of an ugly game. But aside from like that one game and maybe one more out there, every time I watch
the Lakers,
you
don't mean the 50-point loss. You mean one of the other losses.
No, one of the other, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure so that you don't get 100 people tweeting at you that they lost by 49 points and didn't have the full roster.
Yeah. No, I mean, so the Lakers, I would imagine, they've played 54 games at this point now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're like 18 and 36, I think is their, yeah, 18 and 36. They're 18 and 36 right now. And, what in those 54 games, I would imagine they've had their full roster for maybe 20 of them, 25, 30 of them, if that.
Sounds about right.
And
I mean,
and,
Russell's only played in 38 games.
Yeah, so in those games, and Nance missed time, and, you know, Randall has missed some time. So the Lakers.
Yep, Nance has played in 35. Randall has played in 46, so yeah, they've had significant injuries.
And Anytime the Lakers have had their full roster, I've never walked away from that game and said to myself, that's a bad basketball team.
No, I think they're a young basketball team, but they're definitely not a bad basketball team.
Right. Like I watched the Knicks
last
night.
They're very talented. The talent is there.
The Knicks last night looked like a bad basketball team.
The Knicks are kind of trash.
Yeah, and I've never had that sense with these Lakers when they're at their full health. And I don't know. They have 18 wins right now. Is it out of the question to say they could have 25 wins right now?
No, I don't think so. Not if Russell hadn't dealt with so many injuries, no.
What would you say would be, all right, we're getting a little ridiculous. If I was to say, all right, 25
wins,
I
don't know about 25. 22 maybe. I just like they're still young and they still have fallen prone to a lot of youthful mistakes and a lot of no-shows, and no team stays healthy the whole year.
Yeah. And so yeah, I mean that's a fair point to bring up as well. But I would say if the Lakers dealt with fewer injuries, I mean, fourth seed notwithstanding, that's a pipe dream. But I would say, you know, could they have fought and been in playoff contention till the end of the year? In this Western Conference? Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
The Western Conference, like the 8 seed race, is a bleeping disaster.
Yeah.
If the Lakers couldn't be in playoff contention in this Western Conference, they would be a bad basketball
team. The Blazers have 22 wins? Oh, man. Yeah, things are worse than I thought. Okay, yeah. No, the Lakers could have stayed in contention for the 8th seed if they had stayed a little healthier.
Yes, I would imagine so.
Holy wow.
That was an actual legitimate reaction from Harrison.
I'm not a big standings guy. Like, I don't like looking at the standings day to day. I've just never been – that's never been appealing to me. I like to see, like, what type of basketball teams are playing and that mm-hmm. type of thing. But, yeah, that's – yeah.
I kind of feel like we should just end this show on yuck. But, yeah, I would say even if you grant 22 wins, who has the 8th seed right now?
The Nuggets with 23. and then it's the Thunder have 30 games.
Yeah.
So well, it's like the top 7 are locked in some order. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like after that it just drives straight off a cliff.
Yeah, I would say it would be pretty disappointing if the Lakers were fully healthy this year and not contending for the playoffs. Just like next year when the kids get a year older, if they stay healthy and they're not in playoff contention next year, that's where fans get to bark a little bit and say, all right, this team, this rebuild hasn't played out
yeah,
as we'd like it to
play.
Yeah,
they should at least be in contention for the playoffs.
Yeah. So, and we'll see. The other day I said that I'd like to see, you know, something close to 500 basketball from the Lakers on their way out. So long as they stay healthy, I don't feel like that's all that far out of the question.
No, you know? I don't think so.
So... All right.
Well, wait, 500? I mean, I don't know about that.
Something close to it.
Yeah, 300 or 400 sounds more reasonable.
300 or 400 wins over the next 3 years, right? That's what you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so that does it here. Thank you, Meta World Peace, for that. We gave us both a chuckle.
Yeah, I saw that come across my timeline last night, and I was like, oh, man, you got to love Meta. I mean, I know you've critiqued him having a roster spot as much as anybody, but if he were an assistant coach, he wouldn't get to give us quotes, so.
Yeah. I don't know if that's worth it, but anywho, we'll talk to everybody again tomorrow. They play the Detroit Pistons. It's another early afternoon game, right? I think they start at 5.
Yeah, they play early afternoon this whole week. They're out on the East Coast swing.
Yeah, so that's another matchup I feel like the Lakers can compete in. I feel like it's a game that, you know, I would be disappointed if they got blown out. The Pistons have not been as good as people thought they would be this year. So we'll see how the Lakers compete where now that they're still, knock on wood, healthy at this point. Everybody on the roster is still ready to go. And yeah, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Harrison, for chiming in, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for having me, Dad.